Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
The devil, here's his aim. He's trying to rob who God says we are. And what the enemy does is, I'm going to point out three quick things, and I'm going to kind of expound on one of them quickly. Fear. Let me tell you, if you have fear or worry in your life, it's not God. It's a product of an evil report. Okay? You got to find a good report to overcome that fear. Okay? Don't just grit your teeth and try to muscle your way through it. I'm telling you, you find God's promise and you drive a stake in it and live that promise. That becomes the foundation and the soil of your life, the seed that's sown in that soil. Okay, but there's fear. And then there's anxiety. And anxiety is tricky today. See, anxiety is when you're experiencing worry and unease and nervousness. Well, I'm just a nervous person. Stop saying that. Because what comes with nervousness is anxiety. And it's typically about like an imminent event or a threat or something. Now listen, something with an uncertain outcome. And that I'm going to talk today about our outcomes. And the other one's just busyness. And I think that smartphone and the internet and just binging shows or whatever it is you're doing, that, man, the busyness. Man, we've lost sight of the propriety of government, and everything's political now. And Jesus doesn't play politics. And the Bible says the government rests upon his shoulder. See, we've got to understand this. So it's fear, anxiety, worried about an uncertain outcome and what's going to happen in your life. See, there's a natural diagnosis to things. Whether it's financial or it's physical or it's emotional. But listen, the prognosis comes from God's promise. And that's what we've got to cling to. In Philippians 4, if you've got a Bible, turn there. It'll be on the screens, and some of you guys have it on your phone. But Philippians 4, verse 4 says, remember, and remember, Paul's writing this from prison. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Now listen, he's writing this not just from prison, but in the bowels of prison. And, you know, some of you guys that understand that there's two laws of plumbing. One is you get paid on Friday. Two is everything rolls downhill. And you can do the math on everything. And that's what this... They called it the bowels of prison. It was in the lowest spot in this prison. Let your gentleness be known to all men. And listen, the Lord is at hand. Underline that, highlight that, write that down. The Lord is at hand. Man, I'll tell you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Man, some of you guys will look at a psalm that David wrote. And he's up here. He's like, I got the world by the tail. And then it dips down. And he's like, God, don't take your spirit from me. Understand that emotional side of that old covenant psalm is not what we live in today. Because the new and better promise is he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's never going to. You're never going to be begging bread. Now listen to this next verse. Be anxious for nothing. Underline that. Write that down. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So now we look at it, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Now listen, by prayer and supplication. See, this is what creates the outcome. What are we praying? We pray in God's word. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We always win. Now, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place. See, so everything, be anxious for nothing. Man, I'm worried about our country. I'm worried about Tulsa. I'm worried about my church. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my marriage. I'm worried. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. God, I thank you for a certain outcome that's promised in your word in my life in the name of Jesus. Let me tell you what fear and anxiety are, thoughts. And the Bible refers to them as fiery darts. And the Bible says, above all, we take the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. The Bible says this, you ready? Nothing will by any means harm you. See, that's the blood covenant that God's made with us. The harm that the world's worrying about, we don't worry about it. Why? Because that harm, the precursor of that harm is anxiety, is fear, is anxiety. And you know what? We don't live in fear. God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Able to make the right decisions in our life, to control our emotions. Man, right now, get control of your emotions. I'm just telling you, I've determined the rest of my life, I am not gonna live in drama, ever. Not gonna do it. And you know what? I'm not gonna make an emotional decision. I'm not gonna let emotion drive my decisions. And let me tell you, I'm down with emotion. I really am. I think, man, you win. I say we run and jump. We get behind. You know what we do? We grit our teeth and it's like, okay, we're not gonna let the enemy score again. Devil, I'm shutting you out in my life in the name of Jesus. But let me tell you, fear and anxiety comes from thoughts. We counter thoughts, not with other thoughts, but with words. Write this down. This faith is verbal. We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. See, so you look at it, do you eat good the fruit that comes out of your mouth? The sum of your life right now is determined by what you've said up to this point or what you've received. Man, some of you guys, I know some of you, your dad, there's one guy in the church that is a salt of the earth. And his dad said, man, you better be a good athlete or you're not gonna do anything in life. Well, wait a second. That's a curse. The Bible says a curse causeless has no effect. God's not gonna curse you. God's gonna bless you. A man of God is gonna bless you. He's not gonna curse you. And see, you understand, but people live under the covering of that curse, the lid of that curse. And see, what we've got to do is we've got to say, wait a second, no. No, I'm going to win. I choose victory. I choose win. I choose the blood of Jesus that carries me through everything in my life. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God. Say it a couple more times. The peace of God. The peace of God. Now listen, which surpasses all understanding. That's huge. You're in a situation, you're like, man, I don't get it. Why aren't things working out? Wait a second. Quit being curious and go find your peace. You're gonna find your peace in God's word. What has God promised? See, because some of you guys have had bad outcomes in your life. That's not the will of God. There is a certain outcome in every situation, every step, every turn, every decision that we make. There's a certainty to the outcome. And we have to understand that the peace of God, the prosperity of God, it's a synonym, which surpasses all understanding. Now listen, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So how do you overcome fear? How do you overcome anxiety? Man, how do you settle down and you're not so busy anymore? How do you do that? You let the peace of God, which is beyond your understanding. Man, some of you guys have gotten diagnosis. Some of you guys will, man, there's people, Glenn and Tanya and Sky Took right now, believe in God for a baby for 17 years. I know you've heard that story, but it's like, it's so incredible. Man, I know there's a couple here in the church that were believing God for 8 years. And it's like, oh my gosh, the sun just came up. And you know what? Those 17 years, those 8 years, They turn into a suddenly. Man, Tanya goes to the doctor. The doctor says, you're pregnant? That's a suddenly. But it was 17 years of standing in faith. The righteous have never been forsaken. God's seed has never begged bread. See, we've got to understand that. Finally, brethren. And here's what Paul says. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. See, and there's another reference to the word where it says, man, that we don't look to the left or the right. We meditate in God's promise. We meditate in the law of God day and night. We don't let it leave our sight. We don't let it, we don't clench our teeth and not let it out of our mouth. Do you understand? The word of faith is near you. Now listen, it's in your heart and it's in your mouth. It's in your heart and it's in your mouth. It's like, well, you know, I'm believing God. Then you got to speak it. You got to say to this mountain, be removed. You know, there's a Christian song that I heard that it's like, oh, dear God, we got to quit singing songs like that where it's like, God, you're still moving mountains. It's like God's not, no doubt God's moving mountains, but God's called us to move mountains. Here's what Jesus said, have the faith of God that you say to this mountain, be rooted and be cast into the sea, and don't receive any doubt in your heart. You ready? You'll have whatever you say. Man, write this down. I have what I say. Philippians 4:9, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. The God of prosperity will be with you. Man, 4 years ago, last week, man, I watched Sandy walk through a ridiculous situation, but guess what? Never broke stride. Never flinched, never blinked. I'm telling you, never. Man, people go, man, how are you doing? How's everything going? We stopped hanging out with people that had that tone. I'm not kidding you. The world doesn't need our sympathy. Man, you know what sympathy does? Sympathy identifies with the problem. But guess what? Man, the empathy, the love of God identifies with the solution. And then what's that solution? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Man, what does that mean? That the Bible, that word things is actually the word rhema. There's two references to God's word in the Greek. One's logos, that's the written word. The other's rhema, that's the spoken word. I could do all of the God's spoken word through Christ who strengthens me. So you know what? You find his promise, you find his word, you speak his word. And you know what it gives you? It gives you a righteous outcome. It gives you a certain outcome. The devil's going to try to rob who God says you are continually, daily. Why isn't this working out? Why aren't I getting better? Why aren't I blessed? No, listen, that's when you know you're on the devil's track. What's he going to use? He's going to use fear. He's going to use anxiety. He's going to use busyness. See, in the life of God, there are no uncertain outcomes. You'll say, Sheer, show me that in the Word. Here's what God will say. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Good, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. The plan God has. See, there's too many people you've listened to that you've got to shut those memories. They might be vivid, but they're wrong. People say, well, you never know what God's going to do. Do you understand? I don't think that way. I don't speak that way. I know what God's going to do. You know why? He's the healer. So guess what? He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So guess what? Healing is always with me. The Bible says God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. Walking uprightly is the righteous. That's the blood covenant. It's not what I've earned. It's not how much I know. It's not how, listen, character carries blessings. Man, if you're making the right decisions, you're following after God, guess what? God is daily loading you with benefits. His blessings are coming upon you and overtaking you. Man, I'll tell you, I could go all day with God's promise of how blessed this life is. Man, it's more than I can see. The Bible says, eye hasn't seen nor ear heard nor has entered into the heart of man. The great things that God has for those who simply walk uprightly. You know what he's saying? The word there is just saying, look, you can't imagine. What if the life that God's called you to live right here and right now is more than you could ever imagine? Man, there's people in here. I see you, and I don't just see you, I see your outcome. And that's the view we have to take. What's the outcome? Man, our kids, when they were babies, every night, Sandy mostly and I would tuck our kids in and say, God, I thank you that he fulfilled your purpose and married the right person. She fulfills your purpose and marries the right person every day. Well, you'll say, well, you can't control the decisions your kids make. It's not about control. It's about backing God's word and him turning and backing your hope. See, the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So the desires of my heart, God gave those desires, but guess what? He also causes them to materialize. He also causes what's spiritual to become natural. See, the world's looking at it like these natural events are spiritual. No, you know what? Everything's spiritual. It all starts spiritual. And the spiritual affects the natural. So if you're going to go negative, if you're going to go demonic, guess what? It's not going to end well. If you're going to go evil, if you're going to go darkness, that's what your outcome's going to have. But you know what? If you start in the light and stay in the light, guess what? The outcome's going to be in the light. And you know what? In God, there's no shadow of turning. The challenge of our faith isn't the inability for us to hear his voice, for us to understand his word and hear his voice. The challenge of our faith is our willingness to hear other voices. It's not how God's word speaking to us, it's that we're mixing God's word speaking to us with other people's opinions. Man, people ask me all the time, man, what do you think's going on in America? I got a mouthful. I got some opinions. And then I'm reminded that my citizenship's in heaven. Hello? I got a mouthful about heaven. And that's how God's called us to live presently. Well, I can't wait till, man, oh, I want Jesus to come back. Man, all this mess, no, let me help you. Let me help you. We control the mess. You hear me? Well, what's going to happen with the dollar? Don't know. And when I say I don't know, I don't care. So if they come up and say, man, what's going on here? I don't know. That actually means I don't care. Okay, just so you know. I mean, Sandy and I talk all the time. She goes, well, Bill, don't you think you should care? And I'll think, okay, let me think about it for a second. No, I don't want to care. Why? The Bible says, cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. I'm not built to carry care. You're not listening to me. See, some of you guys are thinking, well, it's not that simple. It's more complex than that. No, it is that simple. Write that down. It is that simple. Okay, there are so many opinions and so many comments and so many ideologies and so many ideas competing for our attention. And I'm just telling you, man, the world is desperate for a savior. So they're hoping they could cast a vote and they can elect a savior. Guess what? Not gonna happen. Our election does not produce saviors. See, faith is the currency. In the world, cash is the currency. In the kingdom, faith is the currency. In the world, business and science and industry is the economy. In the kingdom, listen, peace is the economy. So faith is the currency, peace is the economy. So it's fear versus faith. It's turmoil and conflict and chaos versus peace. In James, the first chapter, he writes, it says, but let patience have its perfect work. The King James says it's interesting. It says, let patience have her perfect work. But in the New King James, it says, but let patience have its perfect work. Now, are you ready? Because some of you guys go, well, I'm just not patient. Stop saying that. Say this with me. I am the most patient person in the world. Let's say it again. I am the most patient person in the world. Look at your spouse. Look at him and say, you are the most patient person in the world. Okay, because listen, but let patience have its perfect work. Now listen, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow, I'm excited just saying it. If I'd have just heard that. No, some of you guys that are relatively new here and you don't really know what the word is and you don't know Jesus that well, you should be saying what I said in 1979 when I hear outlandish things like, whoa, wait a minute. What did he just say? I remember I'm sitting in a service and the preacher's reading the verse and it says, I sent my word and healed you and delivered you of your destructions. And then he kept talking and I'm like, wait. Someone, did you guys hear what he just said? God healed us. See, but there's so many people. How many people in this crowd right now that faith is what's going to happen, not what's already happened? He's already healed you. Yeah, but why did I feel it? We don't live by how we feel. We live by every word that comes to. But why didn't it look like that? We don't live by sight. We live by God's promise. We live by God's word. Man, see, that's what we've got to understand. And then we listen to people that'll say, well, there's a predestination in your life. Can I tell you what that predestination is? And can I tell you, I want to just punch those people that are preaching that in the mouth? Because God's predestination is that we be transformed into the image of his son. That's what he's predestined us to. It's not your heart condition. It's not divorce. It's not a child passing away or a grandmama. It's not some tragedy. Let me tell you, those people need to shut their, I want to say holes, but I think you should say mouth. Let's just pause here. Not because I need to backpedal. Let's pause to make this transformational in our lives. I'm telling you, this can transform you. By whose, here's what Isaiah said. By whose stripes you are healed. Here's what Peter said. New and better covenant. By whose stripes you were healed. You're like, wait a second. I still have symptoms. Yeah, you're healed. Yeah, but wait a second. I don't know. I haven't gotten the report back, but you're healed. See, why? We let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you have lack in your life, you're impatient. Cinderella. Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. That is an incredible outcome, isn't it? Perfect, complete, lacking nothing. See, and I look at this, and it's just remarkable. Everything that God's done, everything that there's a certain outcome. If any of you lacks wisdom in verse 5, and see, and this is, listen, what does he say? What do the previous verses say? Let's back up to what we were, man, let patience have its perfect work, that you be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Okay, then James writes, and if you lack wisdom, because the perfect, complete, lacking nothing makes no sense. Because we're trying to balance our checkbook, we're trying to stretch our money to be able to cover the month. Man, we're believing God for new clients, we're believing God for different outcomes. Let me tell you, the outcome of your life is going to be determined by the words that you speak. That's going to be the outcome. You want a righteous outcome, you speak righteous words. And if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So there's people that teach on leadership, and they say, you know what? You got to be humble as a leader. If you don't know something, tell your people you don't know. For real, I'm supposed to get up here in front of you and say, I don't know. No, you know why? The Holy Spirit resides in me. He resides in me to remind me of everything Jesus said, to show me things that I don't know. See, God gives us a ready word. God gives us a now word. But let him ask what, how, in faith, trusting God's promise, with no doubting. For if anybody doubts, he's like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And here's the clincher. This is the tough one. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. That's how big a deal doubt is. I gotta quit smoking. No, you gotta get doubt out of your life. He's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Look at most of the people in our government having to compromise and negotiate, and it just becomes unstable. In Matthew 28, verse 41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Prayer, praying God's word, speaking God's word, keeps us in peace and out of the grip of temptation. Please understand that the outcomes of life are subject to our faith and finding the peace that Jesus gave us. It's like, oh my gosh, I gotta find my peace. Can I tell you a shortcut to your peace? It's found in Jesus. Jesus was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. It's found in his word. See, we have to adjust and shift and sell out to life in God's word. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down arguments and every high thing. I think the King James says imaginations that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ, the obedience of God's word. Don't allow vain imaginations to cause you to lose your peace. I mean, it's really that simple. In the message, it says, the world is unprincipled. The world doesn't fight fair. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. We use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies, tearing down barriers erected against the truth of God. fitting every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of the life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction and building lives of obedience into maturity. See, two quick points. Clearing the ground of every destruction and building lives of obedience. And that's all I have to say today. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. Well, there's a spot on this image. Oh no, how long do I have? Your steps are ordered to the Lord, not by economic indicators. You hear God's voice and another voice you won't follow. See, thinking that is good. Speaking that is powerful. I'm just telling you, I played rugby. There was a little Welsh coach, and he's like 5'4", and one of the cauliflowered ears and a smushed nose and chipped teeth, and one of the toughest men I've ever met. And I remember he came into town, and he'd always come and talk to me. And so we're warming up and we're stretching and loosening up, and he comes over and he goes, "Sheer," and he talked like a Welsh guy. And he said, and it's pouring down raining. He said, "The rain's gonna win it for us today." I was like, "Okay." You know, a guy with a smushed nose and cauliflower ear and chipped teeth and tough as nails, his hair's going everywhere and scars on his face. I'm like, "Okay, I can buy into that." The next week, it's sunny. We're playing in Houston. It's hot. He comes up and says, "Hey, Shear, the sun and the heat is going to win it for us today." I'm like, "Okay." Last week was the rain. This week, it's the sun and the heat. The next week, it's wind. And you know what I realized? He wasn't talking to me about weather and conditions. He was talking to me about a mentality of winning. Let me tell you, no weapon formed against you can control you. You allow it. What are you allowing in your life? See, you got to speak the word in season and out of season without ceasing. God, I thank you for this incredible group of people. God, I thank you that the last 67 minutes, God, set our life on course. God, I thank you for the anointed music. God, I thank you for the fellowship we have in your word, the blood covenant you've made, God, that you've backed up in your promise. And God, I thank you in the name of Jesus now that blessings come upon every person here. Just lift your hand and receive blessings from heaven. Elevation from heaven. God, I thank you for blessings. God, I thank you for peace and prosperity. God, I thank you for finances. God, I thank you for health. God, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Devil, we've already bound you and we've cast you out of here. And you know, you might as well not come back because we're standing on God's promise. So devil, if you do want to come back, all we're going to do is rub your nose in the defeat that you suffered at the hands of Jesus. Say this with me. Father God, I give you my life. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and whom I trust. I'm going to heaven. I'll never smell the scent of hell. And God, I thank you today that I call heaven on earth, because in your word is your presence, and in your presence is fullness of joy. And God, I thank you, it doesn't just reflect heaven, it is heaven. And God, I thank you for it. God, I thank you that our bodies are healed. God, our minds are peaceful. And God, we are not consumed by emotion. God, I thank you now for heavenly outcomes for every person in this place.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.